If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Psalm 25, the first verse. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Skipping down to verse 16. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The title of my message today is The Problem Solver. The Problem Solver. Life is full of problems, isn't it? Isn't it? And they seem to come in bunches, don't they? You could be, you know, going along smoothly for a while. Everything seems to be okay. And then what happens? A problem springs up. And before you've dealt with that one, another one springs up. And another one. Right? You know what that's called? That's called life. And I think in the back of our minds, we keep waiting for the time when we'll just have, you know, smooth sailing and problems won't be there. We're going to be waiting a long time. Because there are a lot of problems in life. But the psalmist mentions four types of problems or issues that are commonly experienced by human beings on this planet. And the good news is that while these problems in others exist, we know one who is the problem solver. Almighty God. Amen? And so, as I share today, I may be dealing with some of the problems that you are dealing with in your personal life. And I want you to be encouraged today and be ministered to by the word of the Lord and realize that God is the answer to your problem. Now, that doesn't mean your problem, you know, will go away automatically or right away. Sometimes God uses the issues of life to strengthen us and to teach us and to develop us into what he wants us to be. But ultimately, the solution to our problems is found in Almighty God. And we know that as believers, but we forget that sometimes, don't we? And so this morning, I want to share some of the problems that God is the problem solver for. The first problem I want to talk about is the problem of fear. The problem of fear. We all experience fear, don't we? We might not admit it. You know, some of us, especially some of us guys who think we're a little macho, you know, we want to communicate that we don't have any fears. And whatever comes along, it's okay, I've got this, you know. The truth of the matter is we become adept sometimes, at masking or hiding our fears. But everyone has them. Everyone is afraid of something. The psalmist here in the first three verses says to you, Lord, I lift my soul. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. So there's a fear of enemies. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame or treacherous without excuse. The psalmist is here talking about fear. I came across the list of some probably lesser known fears or phobias that people have. See if you have heard of any of these or maybe have experienced some of them. Pelidophobia, the fear of baldness and bald people. Anybody have that fear? Aerophobia, fear of drafts. Poriophobia, the fear of the color purple. Chatophobia, fear of hairy people. Levophobia, fear of objects on the left side of the body. I have no idea what that means. Dextrophobia, fear of objects on the right side of the body. How about this? Auroraphobia, fear of northern lights. Anybody here afraid of the northern lights? Caliprophobia, fear of obscure meanings. Thalassophobia, the fear of being seated. I won't go through all of them. Odontophobia, fear of teeth. Anybody afraid of teeth? Okay. You get the... And here's the topper. Phobophobia. You know what that is? Fear of being afraid. Fear of fear. You know, fear is part of life. There are things that we find out or we figure out, whether, as I said, we acknowledge it or not, that are too big for us. David, the psalmist, realized that. Said, Lord, some things are too big for me. Some things are beyond my ability to cope. You know, the world has been experiencing for about a year and a half or more now a pandemic that is many ways and many times has seemed bigger than our ability to cope, hadn't it? And, you know, we felt a month or two ago like we were through the worst of it, and then it's surging, and you know all that. I don't need to go through all that. And we've all been, you know, affected by that in one way or another. And there have been, you know, auxiliary consequences from that. You know, the way we work, the way we do work, the way our kids are schooled, the way, you know, our finances are handled, or the lack of finances, whatever it may be. And our lives have changed. And that's added on to the everyday normal fears that we have. You know, fears in relationships, fears of physical disability or, you know, impairment as we age. You know, we're all aging. Some of us just feel it more than others, you know. And I'm to the age where I'm starting to feel it a lot more than I used to. You know, some of you, that's a surprise you have coming in a decade or two, you know. But there are many things that can cause us fear. But the psalmist said, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Where are you going to take your fears today? You know, somehow Google has become the answer-all to everything. Well, man, I don't know how to deal with this, but I can Google it. Well, you can Google a lot of things, and that can be helpful sometimes in dealing with the run-of-the-mill everyday things. But when you lay your head on the pillow at night, and instead of being able to sleep, you are overcome with fear and anxiety about the future. Google won't help you then. Where do you take your fears? And you see, fear can be debilitating. You understand what we mean by that? Fear can affect every area of our lives. It can affect our health. It can affect our relationships. It can affect our routines. It can affect our state of mind. And God did not intend for us as believers to live that way. What's the answer? To you, Lord, I lift up my soul. To you, Lord, I turn over my fears. What are you afraid of today? You don't have to admit it to me or to anyone else. But you have to admit it to yourself. Certainly God knows what you're afraid of. And you say, Pastor Tim, there are things to be afraid of. I get that. You know? You don't want to aimlessly and carelessly run across the traffic here on Beulah Street in the middle of rush hour. You know, those cars are something to be afraid of. But that shouldn't be debilitating. I'm talking about the debilitating kind of fear that we just can't get over. And you know what? I've had times in my life, just like you, where things have come into my life and I've just stewed and worried. And you know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, why worry about the things of tomorrow? Because can I tell you something? Statistics have shown that 80 to 90% of what we worry about happening tomorrow will never happen. Did you know that? Experience tells us that. How many times have we been anxious and worried and stewed over something that might happen? Right? Am I right? And most of the time, not all, but most of the time, it doesn't happen. That's a lot of needless anxiety. And so, I understand, I am not chiding us or berating us for having fear. Fear is a part of our human existence. I have my fears just like you do. But what I'm saying is, we don't have to be overwhelmed and overcome by our fears when we lift up our souls to Almighty God, when we turn to Him as the source, when we turn to Him as the problem solver. He can help us deal with our fears. Hallelujah. David had much to deal with in his life. And he didn't always handle everything the best way, but he knew who to turn to. What are you doing with your fear today? Let me challenge you and encourage you at the same time. Is that possible? I think it is. Challenge and encourage you to turn your fears over to the Lord. What's going to happen with COVID, you know, with diseases surging in some areas and, you know, not everyone is vaccinated, you know, and what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I can't be stressed over things I don't have control of. I need to take my fears to the Lord. And He's the problem solver for our fear today. What's the second problem here that we find that God solves? It's the problem of confusion. Look at verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you. All day long. Show me your ways. Show me your ways. You know, so many of the problems in our lives, and you say, Pastor Tim, speak for yourself. I'll speak for myself. So many times. Now, problems come that we have no control over. We said earlier, that's part of life. But a lot of times, problems come my way because I try and do things my way. You know, apologies to Frank Sinatra, but it's not always best to do things my way. Some of you are saying, who is that? I don't know. Okay. Google it. Okay. God's word is one of His gifts to us because it's the manual for life. The psalmist said, show me your ways. What he was saying, he's saying, I acknowledge that my way is not the best way. You know, now you say, Pastor Tim, are you saying we should just be robots and not think for ourselves? No, of course not. God gave us common sense. It's not too common sometimes, but you know what I'm saying. God gave us brains for a reason. We should use them. But there are things that are beyond our understanding. I don't care how much money people take in by saying they can predict your future or my future. They can't. That's one thing all 7 billion plus of us people on this planet have in common. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next month, next year. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. We think we do. We plan. We behave as though certain things will happen at a certain time. But that can be interrupted at any time. None of us know the future. But God does. But God does. You see, so when we do things our way, when we follow the agenda that we have set, we are operating from a limited amount of information. Because we don't know the future. We don't know what will happen. But we serve a God who does. He is the omniscient God. That means there's nothing that He doesn't know. And so when our wisdom and our intelligence, based on our limited information, says go this way and do this, but omniscient God says, no, you need to go the opposite way and do this, who are we going to listen to? Do we understand? Show me your ways, O God. A do-it-yourself catalog firm received the following letter from one of its customers. I built a birdhouse according to your stupid plans, and not only is it much too big, it keeps blowing out of the tree. Signed, Unhappy. The firm replied, Dear Unhappy, we're sorry about the mix-up. We accidentally sent you a sailboat blueprint. But if you think you are unhappy, you should read the letter from the guy who came in last in the Yacht Club Regatta last year. Okay? Confusion. Confusion. When COVID came out, we heard all kinds of information, didn't we? One of the early pieces of information, one of the headlines I read was the COVID droplets can exist on a surface for 17 days. And there were other, 9 days, 8 days, 15 days. Did you hear that? What did we find a few months later? Oh, a few hours. Then a few minutes. And we had this and this. The professionals were doing the best they could. They were dealing with the unknown. The point isn't to get down on them. The point is there's just so much we don't know. And I think we progress to a level of intelligence just by realizing sometimes how much we don't know. Because, people who aren't too bright, you say, Pastor Tim, that's terrible. Well, I'm just go with me. The less intelligent of us, they know everything. Right? You ever meet somebody who knows absolutely everything? Well, the reason I say they're not that intelligent is because they don't know how much they don't know. How many are confused? Okay. That's the point. Life is confusing. There's so much we don't know. For example, when we hear the Bible teaching about tithing, giving a tenth of your income to the work of God, and we're having it tight in our budget, and maybe it's a new teaching to us or something we haven't practiced, we say, Pastor Tim, it makes no sense. If I'm struggling on 100% of my income, how in the world will I get by on 90%? Well, that is an extremely logical human argument, isn't it? I mean, from a standpoint of human logic, that makes complete sense. If I'm struggling as it is and I take away 10%, how can I get by? How can I pay my bills? Things will be worse. You see, but God's Word says when we give to Him the first tenth, not the last tenth, because the last tenth might not be there, right? The end of the pay period. When we give to Him the tithes and the offerings, He said in Malachi, I will throw open the windows of heaven and pour blessings on you that you can't even contain. You're going to overflow with blessing. Amen. So there is a dichotomy, a difference between our logic, our wisdom, and the wisdom of God. And that's just one example. So we have a choice to make in every area of our lives. We are bombarded with information from the internet and from news sources and you know, the new morality. And you know, you've heard it said, we live in a cancel culture. If you don't believe, if you don't toe the line, if you don't believe in the accepted wisdom, I heard about in a European country. I think it was Denmark. I could be wrong. One of the women in government there in parliament has been arrested and indicted because she was a member of a church there. And she tweeted something about her church, her displeasure at her church supporting same-sex marriage and gay rights. And so she had tweeted something about her displeasure about her church's stance on that moral issue. And she's going on trial. She could face several years in prison. Well, that could never happen here. Oh, don't you believe it? So, confusion. What's the answer to our confusion? What breaks through all the confusion? The Word of God. Church, are we absorbing the Word of God? Are we, or you know, for many Christians, the only bit of the Word of God that they receive is, you know, for a few minutes on Sunday morning. That's sad. We are to live by the Word of God. Psalm 43:3 says, "Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell." Confusion. God can solve the problem of confusion. He already has. We just need to live by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. You say, "Pastor Tim, what about issues where the Word of God doesn't address them specifically?" That's why Jesus said He sent the Holy Spirit. That if we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will guide us. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? You felt the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you and direct you. When I hear God's Spirit directing me and guiding me, He's never once led me astray. God is the problem solver for confusion today. Thirdly, the third problem we see here is guilt. Oh, Pastor Tim, now you're stepping in it now. You're really getting in it now. Verse 7, he says, "Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways." In verse 11, "For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great." You see, our culture has its own way of dealing with guilt. Right? You just wipe it away. Our culture just says there's nothing to feel guilty about. Pretty much everything goes. Live and let live. We've heard that, right? Nothing to feel guilty about. Sex outside of marriage? Well, you're strange if you don't endorse that. What have you? You know, cheating on your income tax? Everybody does that. That's how our culture, our society, deals with guilt. They just say, don't accept it. Don't acknowledge it. But again, that's contrary to the Word and the ways of God. There's still something called sin. Church, it's getting quiet, but that's all right. I can handle that. There's still something called sin. There's still something called displeasing the heart of God. And when we feel guilt, that is a blessing. Pastor Tim, it doesn't feel like a blessing. Yeah, but it's a blessing. There are some people with a very rare disease that have and I'm probably not expressing it scientifically, but for lack of a better way of saying it, they have no nerve endings. They can't feel pain. And you know, so And little children, you know, they touch a hot stove or something when they're and they don't understand. It burns them, but they don't feel pain. Have you heard of that? And that's, you know, and probably a surface reaction could say, well, as an adult, you know, boy, that'd be great. You know, if we're hurting a lot, especially as we get older, like I was talking about earlier, boy, would it be great to not feel pain. But pain plays an important role in our lives. It lets us know that something is wrong. If we have pain and we go to the doctor and they discover there's a cancerous tumor, thank God for that pain. Or if we have pain and we need surgery or something or some kind of medicine, thank God for that pain. Well, guilt is the same way when it comes to our spiritual lives. If we have defeated the guilt mechanism in our inner man, then we don't know when we're displeasing God. We don't know when we are going astray. If you read Psalm, speaking of David, who wrote this psalm, you read Psalm 51, the heart of David after he sinned, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He pours out his heart to God. And you know what he didn't say in that psalm? I encourage you to read that on your own when you can. He didn't say, God had pointed out his sin through the prophet, and he poured out his heart. He didn't say, oh Lord, please don't take my kingdom away from me. Lord, please don't take my wealth away from me. No, he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. I acknowledge my sin, and my sin has caused a breach in our relationship. And Lord, forgive me of my sin. That was the heart of David. God is the problem solver when it comes to guilt. Someone said, guilt is like the red warning light on the dashboard of the car. You can either stop and deal with the trouble or break out the light. I have to tell this story on myself. My wife is away this weekend, and her car the last few weeks has had a warning light that said tire pressure low. And I have a similar, it's a little different, but similar type of light in my car, and sometimes there's just a problem. A little symbol comes up, it's a tire pressure problem or a problem with the monitor of the tire pressure. And next time I get an oil change, you know, they set it. And so I saw this tire pressure low, and she said, I have this light. And I looked at her tires, they look fine. I said, I don't think it's a problem. Next, we get the oil change, they'll reset it and everything fine. So a few times, checked the tires, they were fine. Well, she texted me yesterday, or called me yesterday, and said, I have a tire that's totally flat, thank you very much. And she had to wait about 4.5 hours for AAA to come and change the tire. And learned a big lesson. Gotta pay attention to those warning lights. She's probably watching this right now and saying, good. Good for you to fess up. But guilt is like a warning light. It's to help us. And the psalmist says, Lord, don't remember my iniquity, though it's great. Lord, I pour my heart out to you. Whatever you feel guilty about today, I want you to know the Lord is ready and willing to forgive. John said in his epistle, he said, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever you're, listen, the enemy of your soul, Satan, wants to beat you over the head with your sin and your guilt and what you've done wrong. But the Lord has forgiven you. Turn to him. Unto you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Unto you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Are you carrying a weight of guilt today? Don't ignore it. Don't try and mask it. Don't try to cover it over. Take it to the Lord. Let him forgive you of your guilt, because he is the problem solver. The last problem here is found in verse 16. It's loneliness. Loneliness. He says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Do you know, I know you know this, You can be in a massive crowd of people and feel so alone, can't you? And sometimes, and there are a lot of reasons we feel alone. Maybe we've lost a loved one, a spouse, a loved one. Maybe we've had relationships that have been broken. Some people, it just seems like their life to kind of go solo. And sometimes we feel so alone. And again, that's something we don't always admit. And certainly, the church family is a great place to deal with the problem of loneliness. You know, I've seen in over 29 years this church body, and many of you have been here for large parts of that time. You've seen our church body come together as a family and minister to one another. We've been blessed by you as a family, and I know different ones have been blessed. And what a powerful thing that is. But ultimately, the problem solver for loneliness is Almighty God. He said in His Word, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And there are times in life we go through deep waters, we go through struggles, and we feel so alone. Have you ever felt alone? We go through something and it just seems like, it seems unique to us, and really, very, very little of what we go through, it's unique to us in a way, but there's hardly anything we can experience that someone else hasn't experienced. But at the time, it feels like nobody's ever gone through this like me. And there's no one, even our loved ones, who want to empathize with us. Sometimes it feels like there's no one I can talk to who will understand what I'm going through. You ever feel that way? But there's one who understands. There's one who is with you. And He will encourage you. He will minister to you. As his UCLA football team suffered through a poor season in the early 1970s, head coach Pepper Rogers came under intense criticism and pressure from alumni and fans, and things got so bad, he remembers with a smile, he says that friends were hard to find. He said, "My dog was my only true friend." He said, "I told my wife that every man needs at least two good friends, and she bought me another dog." You see, not everybody is willing to solve the problem of our loneliness, but Almighty God is willing. Loneliness is a problem in our culture. Charles Swindoll mentioned an ad in a Kansas newspaper that said, "I will listen to you talk for 30 minutes without a comment for $5. That sounds kind of hokey, doesn't it? But the person was serious. Before long, he was receiving 10 to 20 calls a day. The pain of loneliness was so sharp for these people, they were willing to try anything for a half hour of companionship, even spending $5 to talk to a stranger. Loneliness. When you feel alone, when you feel like you're dealing with something that nobody else understands, I want you to know God is with you. Do we need human companionship and human sources to seek out and wise counselors? Absolutely. And again, that's why the church is here. That's why we're here to minister to you and pray with you and counsel you and support you and be here for you. And we are, as a church family, we are extensions of the Lord, His grace. Amen. But ultimately, He is the problem solver for loneliness. In conclusion this morning, I've just mentioned some of the problems that we deal with in life. Fear, whatever your fear is, the Lord wants to help you not be overcome by your fear. Are you feeling guilt this morning? God will forgive you. Whatever it is, whatever the enemy is holding over your life, over your head, the Lord is the answer for your guilt. And you can find forgiveness and peace in Him. Are you dealing with confusion? Do you not know where to turn? The Lord is the problem solver for confusion today. So many of the answers for so many of our confusing dilemmas, so many answers are found in the Word of God. It's amazing what's in there. Amen? You know what I'm talking about this morning? And also, God's Holy Spirit will lead and will guide you. He is the problem solver for confusion and the problem solver for loneliness. There may seem like there's no one you can turn to, but He is here for you. He is available to you. And every other problem that you're experiencing, He is the problem solver. How many have found that to be true? Praise God. I'll close with this from the same chapter, verse 21 of Psalm 25. May integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in You. Where have you placed your hope today? He is the problem solver.